Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie. If you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or emergency medical professional who would like to improve your family relationships, your physical and mental health, and want to have success at work and at home, well, this show is for you. Welcome to the Get Balanced program. Let's get started.
Welcome to the Get Balanced Podcast with Dr. Donnie, and I am your host. And today's episode is going to be a little bit different. What I want to actually do is take you through some of my beliefs and research on work-life balance and make this a little bit of sort of an educational to sort of, let's see if we can get on the same page about what is work-life balance and what does it mean for first responders and my thoughts behind all of that. And we'll see where that takes us for a little bit. But what I want to first talk about is when we think of work-life balance, before I get into that, I think we need to take a step back and say, what are the work-life balance conflicts? In other words, how do we get out of balance? And perhaps we don't even really know what balance is just yet or haven't really defined that for ourselves, but what kind of conflicts are there? And in this work-life balance research where I've spent my time is that there are considered three universal conflicts. And what the first one is, and I think you're going to get this, it's a time conflict, right? You can't be in two places at the same time. Now, we all understand that. And when I say these are universal conflicts, these are conflicts that all 6.5 billion people on our planet have. And it doesn't matter what industry you're in, what line of work. Now, granted, I do mostly first responder work, but when we think of a time conflict, we can't be in two places at one time. So when you're on shift work, you're working. When you're not on shift, you may not be working. However, some of you may be working that second job or something like that, or a committee or a project or volunteering. But that time conflict, it's universal. It causes problems because we can't be in two places at the same time. Now, another conflict that I think you're going to be able to identify with very easily is what we call an energy conflict or a strain conflict. And if you think about that energy conflict, now, firefighters out there, if you know if you have a long night and you have a lot of runs and you don't get any sleep or you get very little sleep and you go home after your shift, you know you're suffering from an energy conflict. Right? I mean, sleep is one of those self-care needs that we all have to have. And we're learning more and more about sleep deprivation and the effects it has on our health. But it's that energy conflict. Or perhaps you had maybe a decent night's sleep, but you just had an absolute hard day, perhaps a hard physical day, or even a hard psychological or emotional day, to where it's that strain, it zaps that energy out of you. And when you go home, you don't have energy, you walk in the door, two kids run up to you and grab you, you know, wrap their arms around your legs or your waist, and your spouse is there for you and wants some of your time, wants some of your energy, right? But sometimes when we're wiped out of that energy, it becomes a source of a conflict. And the third one is that behavioral conflict. And some of that, I think this is so apparent for firefighters, law enforcement, and anyone associated with first responders, emergency medicine, that behavioral conflict. And what I mean by that is that the behaviors that we find successful at work, right? That type A personality, being able to make a split decision and move on it, is very, very effective in law enforcement, firefighting, and emergency medicine. However, let me ask you guys out there, how effective is that at home, right? You know, you think about that. Sometimes that strong, very decisive behavioral management or behavioral piece of yours might not be the best recipe for success at home versus maybe a little bit more of a communication style or behavior or a little bit more of the peacemaker or let's talk about it and things like that. You know, that strong, decisive behavior can lead into that potential behavior conflict. So to recap and to summarize this, if we think about what are work-life balance conflicts, we have time conflict. We cannot be in two places at the same time, even though I know we all try with our cell phones, right? We do it with FaceTime, which of course is a pretty cool thing because we can actually now get a visual with people we're talking with. However, a lot of times we are standing right in front of someone who is trying to have a conversation with us, and we're also looking at and texting someone with our phones, which causes conflict, as we know. The second one, of course, is that energy conflict when we get wiped out at work or at home, right? Any of you ever had some big arguments with your spouse before you went to work? That zaps your energy too. So we have that energy conflict. You know, these are universal. They can go from work to home or home to work. I should say they're bi-directional, right? They can go both ways. And then the other one is that behavioral conflict. So when we think about that, that's what conflicts are about. And with not too long ago, I interviewed a bunch of firefighters with the IAFF members. And what I have found is that, no surprise either, what I found is that many of you are in love with your work, right? I mean, I get it. And shift work, a majority of people told me shift work is not a problem. You know, spouses and family members understand shift work. But it's all those other roles that you love doing that causes sometimes that those time and energy conflicts. And whether this is committees or union leadership tasks, helping others, taking phone calls, working on projects, a second job, whatever it may be, you know, generally all noble causes, right? You're doing it to help others or you're doing it for others. Yet sometimes those are some areas that lead into conflict. Now, if I shift over and we talk about work-life balance, the first question that I like to put out there is, what is work-life balance? And I think a lot of first responders think that, oh, well, you know, I don't work a regular work schedule, so I can't have work-life balance. You know, I can't be spending equal amounts of time at home and at work and on special projects. Believe me, that is not my definition of work-life balance. It is not about spending equal time with family, friends, work, or yourself. Nothing near it. What work-life balance is for me and for my research, it's all about aligning your day-to-day behaviors with your priorities in life. Think about that. Aligning your day-to-day behaviors with your priorities in life. Now, the biggest question that I get sometimes, or statements, I should say, is, wow, when was the last time I really thought about my priorities in life? You know, but I want you to, and I want you to think about that. What are your priorities in life? Are you married or have a significant other? But is your spouse a priority in your life? Are your children priorities in your life? What about other family members? I know you want to say they're your priorities in your life, but are they really your priorities in life? Is exercise or eating well or mental health exercises, are those priorities in life? And when we say that they are, sometimes I encourage people, all of you that I work with, is to say, let's just step back and say, okay, if those are our declared priorities in life, let's assess and evaluate how well our day-to-day behaviors are lined up with those. You know, and I hope they are, right? And if they are, I would actually say that I bet you feel pretty well balanced. But if they're out of alignment, I would venture to say that you might feel out of balance. Now, one thing from the research of all that I have done and many others before me, when we talk about work-life balance, what my research led to is that it requires something. And what it requires is effectively managing your self-care needs. Now, I know that term self-care is coming up more and more. I was just at a health and wellness conference sponsored by Brothers Helping Brothers over here in Beaver Creek, Ohio, just a few days ago. And, you know, everything's on health and wellness, and several top presenters brought up self-care. And when I did my research just a few years ago, the published work, that it talks about how self-care, if you manage it effectively, it generally leads to a balanced life. And when I talk about self-care, I'm talking about four major umbrellas, if you will, of self-care. We have our physical care, such things as like our diet, exercise, hydration, nutrition, sleep. Yes, sleep. Preventive medical care. And so we have those physical needs. And then we have that our psychological / emotional needs, such as, you know, when we encounter a situation or have a critical incident, are we talking with peer support? Are we talking it over with a brother or sister? You know, are we working through these? Are we seeing a therapist if need be? You know, so are we attending our psychological and emotional needs? And then the third one of self-care umbrellas is social needs. Now, generally, most people I know and work with in firefighting, law enforcement, emergency medical, you have a very good social network. You know, you literally call people you work with your brothers and sisters. You have that family at work. So generally you have a very good social network, but sometimes if we dig a little bit deeper, we might want to ask, are you social outside of that area of your work environment? Something just to consider. And then the fourth need is the spiritual need. Now, whether that spiritual need is met through your faith in God and prayer, or if a spiritual need is met through taking a walk through a nature preserve, you know, all humans have these spiritual needs. So when we sum this up and we look at self-care and we look at, are you meeting your physical needs, your psychological, your social, and your spiritual? A way I like to put it is, you cannot pour from an empty cup. You need to fill your cup first. And that's what the research behind this is starting to say, is that the better we learn to take care of ourselves, the better we are at helping others. Because what I have found, and the evidence is there, statistics, when we start looking at preventable diseases, not just of our culture, but of the first responder industry and all of that, we look at cardiovascular disease, obesity, type 2 diabetes, high blood pressure. We look at these preventable diseases as a means to, if we could get on top of that by meeting those physical needs, we would be better at helping others. And I know all of you have taken that oath to serve and protect your communities. But I ask you, have we sometimes failed to recognize that we ourselves and our families are a part of that community? You know, you guys are constantly putting yourself out there and helping others. Always, it's always about others. Yet we are starting to learn that if you want to help others even more, you need to start helping yourself. And that sounds strange to probably a lot of you. You got to start helping yourself so that you can continue to help others. Now, I know that's a paradigm shift for many of you, and I get it. But we're learning more and more about this, as in, look at all the problems that we have with sleep deprivation and our mental health challenges by the things that all of first responders encounter, and you witness and you experience it. And we need to continuously strive to do better at meeting these self-care needs, you know, meeting our nutritional needs, meeting our exercise needs, meeting our psychological needs, our spiritual needs. And when we do that, we can start to round out the whole picture that, wait a minute, we have our career, and that's one area of our life. We have our family, that our loved ones, that's an another area in our life, and then we have our self-care. And when we start taking better care or management of that self-care, what happens is it's the miracle that literally happens is that it spills over into our family life. Think about that. If you, and it's easy to think about sometimes the negative spillover that happens, such as you have a rough night, you go home, as I mentioned early in the podcast here, about you're drained, you don't have any energy. Now tell me, are you going home just a tad bit irritable? Of course you are. Are you quicker to fly off the handle? Yes, you are. We know that, right? We bring these struggles home. So that's an example of that, how it can negatively spill over into our home life. And we don't want that, do we? We want to try to figure out ways, how do we minimize that? How can we minimize that? And then on the flip side of that, if we looked at, well, wait a minute. I notice if I don't eat a heavy meal or get too juiced up on caffeine and I go home, I'm a little bit more in control. I have more energy. Sounds odd, but if you're not juiced up on caffeine, but you don't have that sharp dive down of energy later in the morning, but you can go home and it can positively spill over. Or if you don't eat that heavy meal, you have more energy throughout the day or the evening, or you think quicker, you make better, you literally are more creative and can make better decisions. The science is behind it. You know, it's all there. We have these things that can positively spill over. Or if we talk through an incident that we encountered and we get some help and we work out some of these things that we are accustomed to pushing down deep into our subconscious, and we just keep pushing things down into that. But if we work through some of that, then it can positively spill over into the other areas of our life. And this positive spillover can happen from one role to another role all the time, such as if you have a prayerful life of some type, if you ever notice after saying a sincere prayer, that feeling of comfort or peace that spills over into your psychological and emotional mind. That's an example of that. Or if you have that great social encounter, that time when you really hit it off with your spouse or your family, and and you have a wonderful time as a family, perhaps a family dinner, and it spills over into the evening or the next day, and it keeps things going. And then what happens the next time you go on shift? You take that positive energy with you to your next shift day. So that's an example of how that positive spillover really works. And then if we back into this and go, or actually I should say, go into it just a little bit further, and we start thinking about work, you know, who does work-life balance really benefit? Who all does that include? And then we might start with ourselves, because again, as I mentioned, we cannot pour from an empty cup. We need to fill our cup first. So if we look at trying to do better at meeting our self-care needs, our physical needs, our psychological, our social, and our spiritual needs, it will better ourselves. We will feel better. And then when we feel better, it will positively spill over to our spouse, our children, our family. And then that benefits our friends, our relationships, our coworkers, our brothers and sisters. And then everything from then doing better at work, our employer benefits, and the community benefits. It circles all the way back to originally where I said, as you all of you know, take that oath to serve and protect the community. You are now spending a little bit more time on realizing that you and your families are a part of that community, and that the better you take care of yourselves, the better you'll be able to take care of your family, and it'll complete a full circle all the way back to your community. Now, let me recap that work-life balance piece one more time. And remember, this is not about trying to balance just time between work and home and family, friends. Work-life balance is simply pausing and reflecting and asking yourself this question: are my day-to-day behaviors in alignment with my priorities in life? And perhaps as a takeaway from listening to this episode would be to go and pause and reflect on, maybe take a walk outside, beautiful fall day in the Midwest here. Take a walk outside and start asking yourself, who are my priorities in my life? What are my priorities in my life? And sometimes we can say what we really desire and be honest with yourself. You want to be honest with yourself and say, who do you really want to prioritize in your life? And what do you want to prioritize? And then just do a little assessment. Are my day-to-day behaviors in alignment or out of alignment with that? And where you find them in alignment with that, congratulate yourself and celebrate those and continue to do those. And where you find them perhaps out of alignment, ask yourself, what kind of tweaks could I make to try to make some small changes to pull a few of these back into alignment? And then I urge you to go and try to do that. Go try to pull those back into alignment. And then once you do, maybe go back, circle back and ask yourself, where else could I maybe make some tweaks to have some things to put them back in alignment? That is work-life balance. It is effectively managing your self-care needs. And you might say, but wait a minute, you talked about priorities in life. But I guarantee you, as the research many have done with people on their deathbeds, when people look back on life, the top regrets that they have is that they wish they would have taken better care of themselves, and they wish they would have spent more time investing in their relationships. So I do not want to tell you what your priorities ought to be. I can only tell you what others have regretted and what others have found to be extremely useful. And it is to prioritize the special relationships you have in your life and to prioritize your own health and wellness, physical, mental wellness, spiritual wellness, because it is that type of wellness that will fuel your life to keep you going while you're in your career and to keep you going long after your career into your retirement. That is a very, very well-deserved retirement. I am Dr. Donnie. This is the Get Balanced podcast. And every 10th episode, I'm going to do one of these to where I am doing just a little educational component just as a way to keep things moving into sharing additional things in research that I do, in programs, evaluations that I do, and anything else that's maybe out there that if it could be helpful to voice, I want to share that with all of you. If any of you are struggling with your work-life balance and might like some additional help, please feel free to reach out to me. You can find my information at www.DonnieHutchinson.com. And I would be happy to schedule a time to talk and to see if there's anything we can do to put you on a more balanced life. Thank you and stay safe, my brothers and sisters. Hey, if you're a firefighter, law enforcement officer, or EMS professional who enjoys this podcast and would like some help with your work-life balance, you need to check out my Get Balanced program. Not sure if you are balanced or not? Join me over at DonnieHutchinson.com and take the quiz. Together, we are going to get you balanced.